Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We were not live yesterday. I was out of town on a business trip. So, what was it, Monday's broadcast? The recap starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. RonPaulInstitute.org, doing a phenomenal job as he always does. He's with us first hour Mondays and Fridays on the broadcast. And we talked about, after 48 years, the untold story of Roe versus Wade arrives on the big screen. The name of the movie is Roe v. Wade. It will be released on April the 2nd on Amazon and on iTunes. I guess it's Amazon Prime and iTunes. TheNewAmerican.com has a great article about this new movie out, Roe versus Wade. Ladies and gentlemen, the sad part about this is every 89 seconds, an unborn child is murdered in the United States, adding to the rising death toll of more than 60 million preborn lives under the guise of, what do they call that, reproductive health care? Yeah. Folks, so while we riot over the Black Lives Matter scenarios, we ignore the Chicago shootings where hundreds die, black-on-black crime in big cities across the country, we ignore the murder of the most innocent among us, these preborn lives, under the guise of reproductive health care. But yet, when one guy, oftentimes a drug user, a violent guy, an anti-cop person or whatever else, dies, and don't misunderstand me, their deaths are tragic as well, but we tend to ignore the big picture. By the way, you can request a local screening of this movie, Roe versus Wade, by visiting their website, RoeVWadeMovie.com. RoeVWadeMovie.com. Anyway, I'm really impressed with the efforts for this movie. We also talked about why the coronavirus cases are plummeting. They want you to believe it's because the vaccines came out, folks, but I don't believe it for a second. I believe the PCR test was bogus. They were running it at well more than 35 cycles for every test that we know of. Fauci highlighted that over 35 cycles can produce unreliable results. They have reduced the cycles, therefore more people are coming up negative, which is factual. They were never positive in the first place. And the problem is, they say their numbers are valid and accurate, though. And that's why they have no credibility with me. You can't tell me that we're running the cycles above 35. Fauci says that produces unreliable results. And then you say, don't worry, we've dropped the cycles now. But yet the former numbers are good. See, it's not making any sense, but the numbers are dropping. They claim it's vaccines. How convenient. The truth is somewhat different. We talked about experimental coronavirus vaccines are not safe. Are these gene therapies, so-called vaccines, safe and effective, as Biden claims? Of course not, folks. They're not. They're first not even vaccines. They're experimental gene therapies on the population. Everyone who's taking these vaccines right now is a massive experimental guinea pig. They claim there's not really any meaningful side effects. They don't know the long-term realities of this at all. It is new experimental gene therapy. It's not even a vaccine. They say there's no way you can get sick from it. It doesn't contain any of the live virus. That's right. It doesn't contain any of the live virus or an attenuated dead version of the virus, because they haven't even isolated the virus. That's where the lies start, ladies and gentlemen. Biden stops mid-speech. He says, what am I doing here? We played that on the air. 31 reasons why I won't take the vaccine, an incredible article. Lowell and I highlighted eight of them. I highlighted most of them, though. You just can't trust your government. You can't trust the vaccine manufacturers. Yeah. You can't trust the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. You can't trust the private courts they go to. You can't trust the laws that protect the vaccine companies against real liability and accountability and transparency. And they lie. And we catch them at their lies over and over and over. The proof is in the pudding. It's not even a vaccine. And by the way, the vaccine is causing miscarriages. If you don't believe me, go research the VARS. V-A-E-R-S. Do you know what the VARS is? Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Got it? It's a database. We see miscarriage after miscarriage, folks. All right? And that's documented. But yet, you know what? Despite the news blackout, people are realizing that there are fantastic COVID-19 protection. There are solutions. WND.com with them. Ivermectin is one of them. A simple, well-known, time-tested medication. It's available now, but they won't talk about it, even though doctors have begged them to do so. Yeah, Dr. Corey's one of them. He was a rock star before he testified before the Senate committee about ivermectin. Now they claim he's a quack. Yeah, that again, evidence mounting that they're dishonest with the public. They run around and talk about fake news, but then they peddle fake news at every turn. Even Trump hasn't got the guts to double down on this fake news reality. South Dakota House passes bill to prohibit state enforcement of federal red flag laws. Good for South Dakota, one state to stand up. And that was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2 Monday, we had our guest on, Mr. Dr. Scott Bradley. His collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation, found at freedomsrisingsun.com. Collegiate series available for purchase. Also, weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and more. Well over 1,000 videos at the Become a Member site, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check it out. Dr. Scott Bradley is with us second hour every Mondays and Fridays on your radio as well. So Dr. Bradley and Lowell Nelson doing a phenomenal job, always on your radio. Well, with Dr. Scott Bradley, we talked about Trump calls third-party speculation fake news in CPAC speech. Hey, President Trump, it wasn't fake news. It was our hope. We never, you know, pitched it that you said you were doing it. We pitched it that people are hoping and talking about it, and, man, a third party could make a difference. In fact, we reject parties all together, President Trump. So you're doubling down in defense of the Republican Party is a shame. Why? Because if you go read President General George Washington's farewell address given in 1796, he rails on the negativity of parties and the destructive nature of partisan politics. George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation highlights the importance of independent people standing for what's right, not getting involved in partisan politics. It's a disaster for the people. It's all about peaceful solutions, people. Okay? It's all about realizing that parties cause serious, serious problems. And so why President Trump doubles down in defense of the Republican Party, I don't know. Why he says third-party discussions are fake news. It's not fake news for me to wish you would jettison parties altogether, President Trump, and stand up for America and say, I want Americans to vote for me. Parties are evil. Parties are the swamp incarnate, if you will. Okay, that's what you need to be saying, President Trump. And I'm not trying to pick on you, my friend, but I am trying to double back to the Founding Fathers. Take guidance from them. And General George Washington spoke out boldly, nobly, independently about parties and the evils of partisan politics. So I carry forward the legacy of General George Washington and do my very best to say, you know what? I'm against parties also. All right, parties are not good. Parties, in my opinion, really cause problems. Now, Joe Biden vows, well, by the way, News the Networks refused to use a recap of Monday's show. Got it done. News the Networks refused to use today. Starts now. Sorry about that, folks. Anyway, so Biden vows enough vaccine for all U.S. adults by the end of May. Let me tell you why I have a problem with this, okay? Biden vows enough vaccines for all U.S. adults by end of May. Okay, so I would just say that's probably by June, but whatever, right? But here's my problem with this narrative from Joe Biden. What if all adults don't want the vaccine? Let me say that again. What if all adults don't want the vaccine? I mean, what percent of Americans say they won't take the vaccine? Huh? That's a serious question, right? What percent of Americans say they won't take the vaccine? Over 30% of the American people say they won't get the COVID-19 vaccine. Millions of Americans are saying they still won't get the vaccine. Fewer Americans want to get COVID-19 vaccine, study finds. Scientists worry as more Americans say they'll refuse vaccinations. So why create a vaccine for all Americans and say there's enough for everybody when you know full well that millions don't want it? Liberty Roundtable Live.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so who's paying for all these vaccines, ladies and gentlemen? So Joe Biden vows that enough vaccine for all U.S. adults by the end of May. But the problem is, what if all U.S. adults don't want to take the vaccines? They've been polling Americans on this, and they say at first people were willing to take it. Then they kind of backed off and there became less willingness. And over time then, as the vaccines have been released, the willingness is increasing, is what the mainstream press wants you to believe. But listen to the latest Gallup reality check. CNN has similar results. U.S. readiness to get the COVID vaccine steadies at 65%. Gallup.com, so the Gallup polling folks with the details. And I look at that, And I go, okay, so 65%, you can say, well, that's a big number, Sam. It's a lot of people. I get it. But how many adults are in America? I mean, if there's a family of four, you got two adults and two kids, right? If we're hardly replacing ourselves, then there's more adults than there are children, right? Or if we're not replacing ourselves. Okay, but so let's say there's 300 million Americans. That means 150 million Americans are adults approximately, right? If 150 million adults, now if you say there's 340 million Americans, then it's even more. What? 65 or 160 million? 170 million? Whatever the number be. Okay, so if you say 66% of them, or 65%, now it's interesting to me that they come up with a 66 number. I guess it's 65%. So it's literally one third. So if you say 150 million to make it simple, that means 50 million Americans don't want the vaccine. So let me get this straight, President Joe Biden, if we're going to call you president. I believe the election's stolen. They can say that's fake news and shut me down. But am I entitled to my opinion, to my belief in America? Or am I not entitled to that anymore under the First Amendment that's gone crazy for destruction in America today? But nevertheless, if Biden vows enough vaccine for all American adults by the end of May, and if a third of American adults don't want to take them, that's 50 million doses of vaccines that you ought not be producing. Anyway, I find that fascinating, the two headlines together. Biden vows enough vaccines for all adults, but the next headline, by all pollsters, they're at steady at 65%. One-third, they do not want the vaccines. And let me make the point even more poignant for you. Let me make the point even more poignant, more reality-based. Frontline workers, right? Who is that? All right? To not willing to take the vaccine. Okay, a significant number of frontline workers don't want to take the vaccine. The headline says frontline workers no keener than others to take the vaccine. Right? NBC News. Okay? Many frontline workers refuse COVID-19 vaccines. Frontline workers, folks, are the people that work in hospitals, people that are nurses, people that are doctors, people that are CNAs, people that are, and there's a variety of healthcare people that are paramedics, people that are on the front lines. Okay? Many frontline workers refuse the vaccine as distribution rollout struggles. About 50% of workers in Riverside County, California, refuse to take the vaccine, along with 60% of nursing home staff in Ohio. This is serious, folks, because that's the opposite. The mainstream polling wants you to believe the average American are willing to take the vaccines. But the frontline workers who are in the know, they don't want to take it. So if you look at that amount of healthcare workers that don't want to take it, and overall it translates to at least a third in America, you know what? Maybe these polls are leading the witness. Maybe these polls aren't exactly accurate, number one. So we're talking about millions and millions and millions of vaccines that Joe Biden vows to have produced by the end of May at taxpayer expense that people don't even want. All right? Many frontline workers refuse COVID-19 vaccines as distribution rollout struggles. That is a significant headline. And this is mainstream stuff. Go look it up. Okay, you can say, oh, Sam, you know, but about 50% in California, more than that, 60+% in Ohio. Okay, this is all across the country, folks. The frontline workers don't want the vaccine. You know why? Because they're on the front lines and they see it as not very safe and not very effective. they see when something goes awry or goes bad. Right? They know the vaccines aren't what they say they are. The vaccinations aren't what they're cracked up to be, in other words. And who would know that more than the frontline workers? Huh? This is not an insignificant discussion, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to believe that, oh, I'm just out in the weeds and I'm a right-wing extremist, not in the mainstream. No, no, no. Stop. Biden vows enough vaccine for all adults by May. But U.S. readiness to get the COVID vaccine steadies at 65%. People aren't ready. They don't want it. They're not interested. They're not willing. And many frontline workers, people who are in the most in the know and on the front lines who see it day to day, they refuse the COVID-19 and distribution rollout struggles. So I don't know why you would be rolling out so much vaccine to so many people when a significant portion don't want it and are not willing to take it. And in addition to that, the rollout struggles. So why commit so much vaccine in the pipeline when you can't even get it distributed effectively? For a lot of reasons. Part of it's refrigeration. You can't keep it cold enough, so the vaccine goes bad. Part of it is you don't have venues where you can vaccinate people quick enough. Right? And so why would you try to roll out so much vaccine so quickly? And this points to the Monday broadcast where we really, Lowell Nelson and I really laid down the reality on these vaccinations, folks. They're not safe. They're not effective. They're experimental. They're not vaccines. They're gene therapy experiments on the people. The vaccination companies are shielded from public accountability, transparency about what goes wrong. Okay, but Joe Biden is absolutely going for broke on this thing. And I have a real problem with it. All right, many frontline workers are refusing because they know full well that this is a sham. They're not comfortable with it. They don't believe in the vaccines. They're saying, hey, wait a minute. This messing with my RNA is a serious concern. We're crossing a Rubicon. We're crossing a line here that hasn't been properly vetted, properly discussed, properly explained to the American people at all. But yet the president is doubling down, if you can call him the president, and literally rolling this out without discussion, without real debate, without accountability, without people being able to explain the science or the lack thereof to people, without the safe and effective triggers that are normally put in place. And even then, vaccines aren't safe and effective. Go check out the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund that has already spent well over $4 billion when vaccines go wrong, shielding liability for the vaccine companies and derailing the American people from seeing what the real numbers are. And they all say that's a drop in the bucket. But yet I speak out about this and I'm somehow a non-educated, unscientific derelict on the subject. But yet I bring up cogent, appropriate questions. And instead of answering my questions and debating it transparently, openly with science and reality, they just call me a nut. They say I'm an extremist. In fact, they say I'm a racist or whatever they say that I am. Okay, but we never really get to the real discussion. It's kind of like the vote fraud. They say, oh, they make more allegations of vote fraud without evidence. But yet we've never been able to get in the proper theater to lay out the evidence, right? Okay, it's the same thing with the vaccines as the vote fraud. You can't get an appropriate open discussion with all the facts on the table. You can't get in a situation where you could subpoena facts and documents. You can't get it, okay? Same thing with vote fraud on the vaccines. You're not getting transparent details. You're not getting accountability with a fully informed jury to look at this thing and say, what's going on for reals? You're not able to really transparently discuss this in a meaningful way. It's all manipulated. And anybody who opposes them is somehow ridiculed and mocked. And furthermore, now getting shut down openly. Their funding's being challenged and cut off and more. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind
blow. Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An airbase in Iraq that hosts U.S., Iraqi, and coalition troops was targeted by 10 rockets Wednesday. No casualties were immediately reported, according to Reuters. The source of Tuesday's rocket fire was not immediately known. It should also be noted Pope Francis is planning a historic visit to Iraq for later this week. That would make him the first pontiff to ever visit the country. The U.S. Border Patrol is reporting a California highway crash involving human smugglers and 25 illegal immigrants jammed into a single SUV, left over a dozen people dead Tuesday. The wreck involved an overloaded Ford Expedition that was T-boned by a semi-truck hauling two trailers of gravel near the U.S.-Mexico border. Officials noted that the SUV's back seats had been removed to create more space for the passengers. The crash occurred just east of El Centro, California. Thank you for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Can you really believe the news? So much spin. Americans just don't trust big media. And if you're really tired of the old news, check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing network in America. It's on all major cable systems. Each night, watch Newsmax TV and see big shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're exposing Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's surprising agenda. So tune into Newsmax anytime. If your cable doesn't carry it, call them and tell them you can go to another service that does. Or you can download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, and you can watch it anywhere in the world. Newsmax is also free on TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. And millions of people watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, Apple TV, and more. There's a reason 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV all the time. Check it out today. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Although the White House denies we have a problem at the U.S.-Mexico border, we have a problem at the U.S.-Mexico border. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A surge of unaccompanied minors has been seen at the U.S.'s southern border in the last several weeks, with the White House on Tuesday calling for nearly 20,000 additional beds at immigration facilities on the border to handle the influx. The Department of Homeland Security estimates that more than 117,000 minors will try to cross into the U.S. this year. Senator Tom Cotton says this surge was predictable. The Arkansas Republican tells Fox News that the blame for the increased numbers at the border lies with the White House.
You cannot promise amnesty, open borders, and health care for illegals and not expect migrants to surge to our border. And that's exactly what happened. Every month since the election, the number of migrants showing up at our borders increased, especially unaccompanied minors. And look what happened compared to the last year of the Trump administration. Unaccompanied minors this January were almost double what they were last January. This February, almost triple what they were.
USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Joe Biden's promise. Yeah, he's doubling down, ladies and gentlemen. Biden vows enough vaccine for all U.S. adults by the end of May. But the U.S. readiness is only at about 65% folks willing to even take it. Many frontline workers are refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccines as they say distribution struggles. Believe it or not, according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 44 million Americans have been vaccinated for COVID-19. That's as of February 22nd. Meaning that more than 1 in 10 Americans have received at least one dose of the vaccine. Now, I find that fascinating because if you have one dose, you're not really vaccinated, folks. Okay, they say it takes two to be effective or whatever else. One dose doesn't get it. That's why you got to take two. So it's hard for me to see how you're going to say they're vaccinated when you say they've only taken half of their dose. All right, if I say, did you get a good night's sleep? And you say, yeah, I slept incredible for 2 hours. Then I'd go, oh, well, I don't really see that as a night's sleep there. But yet they manipulate the numbers. And they say more than 44 million Americans have been vaccinated for COVID-19, that's of February 22nd. And then they say this, what I find fascinating, meaning that more than 1 in 10 Americans have received this. And I find that interesting because 44 million, how many adult Americans are there? I mean, they're not giving vaccines to kids right now, right? So 44 is 1 in 10? How many people are in America? 44 million. To me, 44 million is like 25% or maybe even 30% kind of range, isn't it? Anyway, I find their whole numbers very interesting. And then they say have taken one vaccine. How many have taken both of them? I don't understand their numbers here. And I'm really concerned about it, right? Because I think 1 in 10? How do their numbers add up? How many adults are in the United States? Right? How many adult Americans are in the U.S.? Do you know? I guessed at about 150 million. Right? I mean, we can talk about working age population. But what I don't understand is I thought that we were only doing Americans above like 65 and stuff like that so far, and frontline workers and et cetera, et cetera. Right? Anyway, I find it very interesting. Right? How many adults are in the U.S.? Total. And when you look at the above 65 or above whatever age, and then you look at the frontline workers and teachers and all that kind of stuff, what's the number? How many adults live in the U.S. total? All right, they say 330 million people live in America. They say 253 million of them were adults over the age of 18. In other words, 77% of the adult or the population. So even if I'm wrong and you say it's two-thirds, which there's a very big concern of two-thirds of Americans are adults, there's not even close to enough children to replace us. Right? But anyway, I digress. So let's say it's 200 million Americans. And 44 of them, that's 20% about, have received the vaccine. And I'm just kind of going, wow. And if a third don't want to take the vaccine, let me be very clear about this again. If there's 200 million Americans that are adults, and there's going to be 200 million doses, but one third don't want to take them, right? All right, let's make it easier to figure. Let's say there's let's just leave 200. So 65 million don't want them. 44 million have already taken them. Hey, we barely need 100 million vaccines left. Anyway, very interesting and very concerning in my opinion. Their numbers aren't adding up. You say, well, Sam, you got to have two doses of a vaccine. Okay, so is that two vaccines or one? If I got to have two doses to be, quote, fully vaccinated, is that one vaccine? If I take half of it, when I get both vaccines, is it considered, you know, two vaccines? So, see, we got all kinds of weird things. Some take two, some take one, some take certain days apart, others take other days apart. Some, you know, and I don't even know what we're talking about here. But I know this, I, as the taxpayer, don't want to pay for millions and millions of vaccines, potentially up to 70 million vaccines that nobody wants, that frontline workers and the rest of us aren't going to take. Anyway, there you have it. Now you kind of got to ask yourself, too, with that many vaccines already distributed, 44 million people have been vaccinated. How many people have already got the COVID and don't really need vaccination? Now, what they would say is, well, you need to be vaccinated anyway because we don't know how long your, quote, immunity naturally will last. Well, what's better, natural immunity or vaccinated immunity? Man-made immunity or God's natural defenses immunity? Do you need them both? How long will each of them last? Do they even know these things? See, I think they don't know them. And that's really where a lot of the problem with this is. They're rolling forward as if they know, spending billions and trillions of dollars, but yet they don't even know. All right, the FBI head Christopher Wray is in the news. The guy's a wacko, man. All right, I don't know why Donald Trump had this, you know, joker in here in the first place, but now he's with Biden. So Wray's with, you know, Trump and Biden both. Isn't that an interesting tell? Why did Biden let go of so many people, but yet he kept Wray? Because the leader of the FBI is corrupt as all get out, in my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. FBI head Christopher Wray warns senators of what they call this word. Ready? Metastasizing? Is that how you say it? Metastasizing? Terrorism? As threats grow. Let's talk about this word for a minute. What does this word mean? It's just growing out of control, right? That's what they want you to believe? It's just out of control, getting worse, right? What's the definition? To mistest. It's usually used in medical. All right. I'm not even saying it right. Metastasized. They say to grow or to transfer, right? They usually talk about it when it comes to cancer and stuff. That's why they're using it here, because they believe terrorism is a cancer and it's growing in America. Change of position, state or form is probably the best definition that I can find that equates to how they're using it now. Right? It will be changing, growing. Right? Anyway, I bring this up because whacked out Ray warned senators that, hey, you know what? Like a cancer, domestic terrorism is growing and becoming a greater threat. It's changing. Ray said during a Tuesday Senate Judiciary Committee hearing that the January 6th Capitol riots was an act of domestic terrorism. Now, do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? The riot occurred, he says, after a, quote, pro-Trump mob overpowered Capitol Police. Wow. That attack, that siege, he says, was criminal behavior. Plain and simple. And it's behavior that we, the FBI, view as domestic terrorism. Now, my problem with all that, Ray, is that I don't even know what the Capitol riot means. There was a peaceful rally speaking event that most people went to and most people left. There was also a peaceful protest in an effort to influence congressmen and senators to look into vote fraud outside the Capitol. Those who entered the Capitol were a tiny, tiny fraction of those who attended that day. So this broad brush stuff has got to stop. You're dishonest, fast and loose with the facts, my friend.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So Christopher Wray, ladies and gentlemen, said the Capitol riots were an act of domestic terrorism, which I completely 1,000% disagree with. Is it criminal behavior to destroy property and to threaten people? Absolutely, no doubt about it. But it isn't domestic terrorism, folks. All right, and I understand what he's trying to say, that there's domestic terrorism in America growing. He's right. Christopher Wray, during his Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, the January 6th Capitol riot was an act of domestic terrorism. That attack, that siege was criminal behavior, plain and simple. I agree with his criminal behavior. But I don't agree. I don't agree that it was terrorism. All right? And I'll tell you why. Because we still don't know who's involved here and at what levels. For what reasons? Right before the pause, I mentioned that the majority of the people went to a peaceful rally and left. A significant number of people did go to the Capitol, but were peaceful. Okay, neither of those activities are domestic terrorism at all. Now, when you say the riot at the Capitol, who's involved in the riot? We're told that there might be some inside congressmen and senators that were involved, allowing it to happen or helping it happen. We're told that Christopher Wray and others at the FBI didn't appropriately alert others, and that somehow the alert got stopped, even though everybody knew there was a threat. We hear that Donald Trump is responsible because of his speech, that he incited the riot, but yet at the same time, we hear that President Trump offered over and over and over and over for the National Guard to help, even going all the way back to the summer events. Okay, we're not getting the real story, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem. And I say shame on Christopher Wray for being so fast and loose and broad brush based with the facts. All right? Because now FBI Director Christopher Wray refused to disclose the cause of death of the police officer, Brian Signick, citing an ongoing investigation. Now, I understand that, Ray. And I'm okay if you really want to play that card and say, we won't talk about it, we're going to keep it under wraps because it's under investigation. But here's my problem with your dishonesty, Ray. Okay? When it first came out, the mainstream press had loose lips. And they ran around and told you that it was, hey, he was killed, beat up by this or that or whatever. And we knew all the details, by golly. Right? We were told that, and Christopher Wray didn't stand up then. All right? So if we're going to refuse to disclose the cause of death for Brian Signick now, because it's under investigation, why didn't you say something when the mainstream press was running around giving all kinds of bogus excuses? Right? Why didn't you say anything then, sir? And where did the press... Let's really dig into this. Where did the press get the information? Right? They said he died around 9:30 p.m. due to injuries sustained while on duty. But now the FBI won't disclose the cause. Now, headline says New York Times corrects report on Capitol officer's death. So where were you, Christopher Wray, when the New York Times was babbling at the mouth with loose lips, making us believe that Donald Trump supporters literally killed him? All right. All right. Investigators can't agree right now whether he was struck by a fire extinguisher and that's what killed him, as was first reported, or not. But I know this. The New York Times, which was so quick to report on the details, now has to backtrack and melt down on the credibility's in question. Justly so, I might add. Right? Think about this. The New York Times has updated an initial report from last month claiming that Capitol Police Officer Brian Signick was killed due to blunt force trauma from a fire extinguisher during the January 6th riot. Now they say a new February 12th update. So they don't want to admit they were wrong and backtrack and have to recant, okay, like they used to have to do in the media. Now they just act like they're updating it. Golly, we're getting more information here. But the problem is they lied, and where did they get the information in the first place? They jumped in as if they had factual information, the who, what, when, where, why of a story, and that anybody else is peddling fake news. And I said, not so fast. We can't trust this. We don't even know if it was Trump supporters. And I'm the one that held off patiently to try to get more of the truth here. They say this. Capitol police officer dies from injuries in pro-Trump rampage. Now they say new information has emerged regarding the death of the Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. They say that now there's different questions regarding his death. As the Washington Examiner notes, additional revisions based on new information surrounding the officer's death can be seen in a section of the article updated on Sunday. Law enforcement officials initially said that he was struck with a fire extinguisher. But police sources and investigators are at odds over whether he was hit. Medical experts say that he did not die of blunt force trauma. The case is still open, but prosecutors stymied in filing homicide charges so far. The Times originally characterized Signick's death differently. Here's what they said at first. Mr. Signick, 42, an officer for the Capitol Police, died on Thursday from brain injuries that he sustained after Trump loyalists, who overtook the complex, struck him in the head with a fire extinguisher. That's according to two law enforcement officials, the Times initially wrote. But on Thursday, a separate Times article rebuked the paper's original January 8th report. Investigators have found little evidence to back up the attack with a fire extinguisher as the cause of death, the official said. Instead, they increasingly now believe that a factor was he was sprayed in the face with some sort of irritant like mace or bear spray, the law enforcement officials said. Now listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me, ladies and gentlemen, because this is where the dishonesty is absolutely out of control by the New York Times. They should be sued like you wouldn't believe over this. Listen carefully. Last week, House impeachment managers used the original Times article as evidence in their impeachment pretrial memo. Yeah. Now, let me explain this to you. You've got the New York Times and the cops that literally came out and said, hey, Trump loyalists overran the Capitol, killed a police officer, beat him in the head. Right? With a fire extinguisher. The cops reported that to the Times reported it. Then the prosecutors from the House, right? House impeachment managers, the prosecutors in the House impeaching the president, used that as evidence. The original Times article is evidence in their impeachment pretrial memo. Now they get caught admitting it's fake. And now all they say is New York Times corrects report. But wait a minute now. Are we going to go back and revisit the whole impeachment thing? Will you say, Sam, he didn't get impeached anyway. Well, he did in the House. Based on this fake news peddled by the New York Times. And if the New York Times is going to peddle fake news, and then the Democratic, quote, prosecutors or House impeachment managers are going to use this as evidence. And now the evidence is completely debunked. And the Times has to correct their information. Who's peddling fake news? The cops that fed him the information? The New York Times that promoted the information? The House impeachment managers that used the fake news from the New York Times? And what these people do on the back end of their fake news, dishonest, satanic lies from the pit of hell, is they say, well, golly, we didn't have correct information. We're going to update everything. But ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond just correcting a mistake. The fact is, if Sinnick's death did not happen, as the House Democratic impeachment managers have portrayed it or represented it to be, then we should be told that blatantly and be told why such inflammatory allegations were made in the impeachment trial in the first place and repeated as a pretrial memo. Right? Many details regarding the events and the direct causes of Brian's injuries remain unknown. And our family asks the public and the press to respect our wishes in not making Brian's passing a political issue. Okay? That's what Ken Sinnick, Brian's older brother, asked of the news. Now, they say the Washington Examiner and the New York Times contributed to this report. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is criminal. Right? So this is serious business, because it's not just like we made a report and we're so sorry we didn't get it right. Somebody fed this news. Let me say this very blatantly. Somebody literally fed this news to the Times. Okay? And they used this in a criminal prosecution of the president, suggesting that he was involved in an insurrection, inciting an insurrection, where now the FBI director is saying, look, this is criminal activity. I agree that destroying private property is criminal activity. And I agree that violence is criminal activity. But who committed the violence against who? And who lied about it? And if congressmen and senators are being told lies based on the New York Times article and based on the whoever police told them this lie in the first place, folks, we've got some real investigating to do. And just as I told you that they're jumping too early to claim it was Trump loyalists that caused this, and that their narrative, they have too many facts too quick, now I'm proven correct, and they were proven dishonest fake news peddlers. Yes, indeed. And now I submit to you that we got to back off and find out who really committed the violence, who was peaceful, and quit calling the Capitol Hill a riot or an insurrection or a terrorist act, because most people who were there were not violent or terrorists at all. There were a few provocateurs that should be prosecuted. But where do they hail from, and where do their allegiances lie, and who they are, and where do their funding come from? Those are the questions that we really need to ask. God save the Republic.